Welcome to Black Light After Dark, a true horror podcast. I'm Thomas, and this is my co-host,
Uriah.
And welcome to our first episode. We're new at this. I was going to say we're kind of new at this, but we're very new at this, this being our first podcast. And the original story I wanted to tell, I wanted to just start off with a big fucking bang.
Oh?
And I thought, you know, we just introduced ourselves. We've known each other for like 5 minutes here. Not you and I, but the audience.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of odd if we only knew each other for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I didn't want to throw something like this first story. Well, episode two, let's just say. So I'm going to lead into it with some unusual things that we're typically not going to cover current events like ever. But since we were looking for the first episode, and this will also extend into another situation that may have to go into a deeper, lengthier episode. But to start off with, Texas has a serial killer right now, living down in Austin. Some of them are calling him the Rainy Street Ripper. 8 bodies in less than a year have been pulled from Lady Bird Lake in the city.
Well, you have to remember, the cops are claiming there's no evidence of foul play.
Yeah. When I heard that and the evidence of foul play, it immediately took me somewhere else. But let's start off with this because it is so close to home. We are based, if you can't tell by the sound of my voice, we are based out of Texas in an undisclosed location.
This Yeehaw! Is our
bunker. We're actually roommates and family.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But we seem to get by pretty well, roommate-wise. But anyway, so the weird thing about this story is how recent all of this has happened. Just 2-3 weeks ago, John Christopher Hayes Clark, he was 30, and he was the latest body to be recovered from the lake. Jonathan Honey, 33, Jason John, 30. 5 other unidentified people have been found dead at the same location over the last year. And like I said, within the last few weeks. Now, obviously, Austin residents are going to fear that they've got a serial killer loose and that the 8th body in just 10 months, actually, was just pulled from the lake in the city. Now, the last 4 remains have been discovered between mid-February to mid-April of this year. John Christopher Hayes Clark, again 30, he was the last victim to be pulled out of Lady Bird Lake, and it was on April 15th. Now, police have denied any foul play, as Austin Police Chief Joseph Chican, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, he recently said, "Nothing has come to light that we can indicate that there's a serial killer in Austin."
I mean, like the whole, like, 8 bodies in the same lake would kind of be an indicator.
Yeah, it is kind of an indicator. And it's not only just being pulled out of Lady Bird Lake, it's the fact that it is so close to Rainy Street. And if you're not familiar with Austin, Rainy Street, it was a historic area of downtown. They had cottage-style homes, and now it's almost even more high-rise apartments and upper-end apartments there. But down on Rainy Street, you've got nightclubs, you have food trucks every weekend. It's a very cool atmosphere with a lot of people. And Austin, Texas, being what it is right now, has attracted a lot of different people from across the country and from around the world. Everyone's relocating down there, and I think half the residents at this point are probably from California. But what I'm getting at is there's such a diverse group of people down there. Now, it wasn't just recently. There's been other times where bodies have been found in Lady Bird Lake. And one thing you have to realize, it's really not a lake. It's part of a river that runs through downtown Austin. But there's hike and bike trails all the way around it. I mean, miles and miles and miles of almost wilderness. Some of it can only be accessed by, you know, boat. But it's only where they're finding the bodies, it's only a 30-minute walk from Rainy Street. So, you know, put on your thinking cap about that.
Are they, like, all found in the same, like, stretch of, yeah, like, beach or something?
They're all within 30 minutes of Rainy Street. A 30-minute walk, actually. But these victims have no sign of trauma whatsoever. And it's like, well, okay, well, I've heard this story before. I mean, duh, the smiley face killers. It's very similar to the smiley face killers in the fact that the smiley face killers, they were drugged. They were typically the same age demographic, college kids, college age, athletic. Most of them were particularly very smart. And, you know, if you're a serial killer, you're not going to go after an athletic college age dude that's been drinking beer all night by yourself. You're going to want some help just in case they come to from whatever GHB or whatever kind of date rape drug they gave them. So I'm thinking these people travel in packs.
Have they come out with like a toxicology report or anything for the bodies yet?
Well, the ones in Austin, no, they haven't released the reports yet, but they just say they don't see any sign of foul play. And the victims' families believe there's much more behind these deaths, obviously, such a short span of time. But the victims in Austin, what the difference is that I have seen is they are not college age. These are 30-year-old men. You know, other bodies have previously been found in this lake, too. 22-year-old Julio Santos in 2015 and a 25-year-old Martin Gutierrez in 2018. Now, these aren't all white men, college age, like it was happening with the smiley face killers. This group is actually very diverse. Martin Gutierrez might have been possibly transgender. And not passing judgment, just making a profound statement that these people weren't sexually assaulted that we can tell. They weren't in the water that long where it would erase the evidence.
Yeah.
Whereas with the smiley face killers, they were definitely probably sexually assaulted. The few bodies they recovered that hadn't been in the water too long did have the date rape drug in their systems. So they were drugging them at the bars. Somehow getting them out into a vehicle and driving away and doing whatever it was they were going to do with them. Whereas with the Rainy Street Ripper, no sign of sexual assault. No really reason for it at all.
So they're just kind of like showing up in the water and it's like they definitely drowned.
Yeah, that's about it. It's like someone probably did. It could be some suicide. And all the victims' families are like... my husband or my son was not suicidal.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be more to it than that.
Because, I mean, like, one person drowning in the river, it could be explained away as, like, a suicide or just an accident. That kind of stuff happens. But human nature is finding patterns where there aren't, but especially where there are. If you have 8 people dying in the span of 10 months at the same area... and the bodies all show the same signs. It's not like these people were in like a suicide pact or something. Because were they even connected in any form or way?
The only thing that connected all of these people is that they were last seen on Rainy Street. And again, that's Rainy Street area, Lady Bird Johnson Lake, or you know, Lady Bird Lake. It's like a 12-acre area. It's not that big. And the fact that they're all being found in the same place and had last been seen partying down at Rainy Street, I mean, come on, man. You don't have to be a detective to try and put 2 and 2 together on something like that.
Yeah, because, well, the one thing I do know about when it comes to, like, serial killer cases is, like, the police will typically deny any semblance of, oh, there's a serial killer on the loose, mostly just to not get everyone panicked out, but... until they actually have physical evidence that kind of paints everything together. Like, they need to be able to connect those cases together, and then they can properly say there's a serial killer. But until then, they'd rather go with the there is no evidence of a serial killer yet, but an unspoken yet.
Well, it's kind of funny because there's been some YouTube guys saying that even though they haven't been down there, they've seen pictures of smiley faces along Lady Bird Lake. And I mean, they could be making that up, but
it's not really that hard to put a smiley face literally anywhere. It's like the easiest piece of graffiti.
Anywhere there's graffiti, there's going to be a fucking smiley face.
Man. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
come on. You don't have to put conspiracy theorists into the fact that this many people have died in that short of a span in the same freaking 12-acre location. You know, and with the smiley face killers again, the Austin families have identified that it's very similar to the smiley face killers as well. Smiley face murders.
Yeah, nice one.
And they started up a Facebook group. It's got like over 50,000, you know, subscribers right now. So they're trying to get any kind of other evidence. Anyone knows anything kind of thing, please post it on there. But yeah, circumstances were very similar. Now with the smiley face, and I'll theorize on this, those deaths began in 1997. And they have a lot of similarities, what's happened in Austin. Like I said, most of them were young, athletic, and academically high achievers. And the theory came out after the 1997 death of a dude named Patrick McNeil. He was 21 and a student at Fordham University. He was last seen alive drinking with friends in a Manhattan bar. Now, 2 months later, and around 12 miles away, there's that 12-mile mark, 12 miles away, his half-naked body was found near the entrance of New York Harbor. So-called victims of the smiley face killers were said to be college-age white males who were fit or athletic. And they were generally the popular and sporty type dudes. The victims may be slightly older now in Austin, but however, there have been theories that they have aged along with their suspects. And I know from all the shows I've listened to on Morbid with Ash and Elena, you know, as a young killer gets older, his victims tend to get a little bit older as well, hopefully. We'll cover some stories where that's not so, but that could be a thing, man. They aged and they can no longer have their group of friends who go out with them to do these heinous crimes for whatever reason. Huh. And maybe they've located down to sunny fucking Austin because it's a hell of a lot warmer than up in New York and in that areas. And now they're really not into it for the sex. Maybe they just miss the killing because they're literally just drugging them, dumping them in a car because they're not walking them. If they've given them the date rate drug, they're not going to walk them for 30 minutes along the fucking river walk.
Yeah.
They're going to get them into a vehicle, drive them there and dispose of them. And again, the only motive, well, there is no motive. So could it be the same group of people or one of the same persons? Possibly. You know, it seemed like with the smiley face killers, I've heard anywhere from 50 to over 100 victims, all very similar. And
damn,
you know, their bodies were in the water for a long time. So, you know, when bodies are left in the water a long time, they obscure marks, bruises, wash off traces of DNA. But even back then, the coroner's reports of some of the victims say drowning was not the actual cause of death, and that many of the victims found themselves in the water post-mortem. So they were raping them and killing them and then dumping them someplace in the water that was nearby. Patrick McNeil, he was found with faint binding marks, and it was still visible on his skin. But according to a retired NYPD detective, name was Kevin Gannon and his team of investigators, and they have evidence that 100 of the men, there's one number someone's throwing out, had been murdered by a gang. And you have to ask yourself, what's your fucking gang, man? We're going to go out and rape college, cool, white college dudes that are handsome and smart and throw them in the river?
I'd have to imagine it's just like probably just one really fucked up charismatic dude who pulls in a bunch of other really fucked up, not very charismatic other people.
They seem to find each other somehow.
Yeah. It has to be something like that, if it's even that kind of situation, because, I mean, if we don't have the toxicology reports for the current murders at all, we don't know if they're actually drugged or not. If they're not drugged, then there is a much bigger problem going on.
Yeah.
Because how are they getting them all the way there with no one noticing and with them presumably not under an influence? Like, what is leading them to that part of the lake?
Yeah, it's going to remain a mystery. But like I said, the last body showed up just 2 weeks ago. So this is still happening and still ongoing.
Mm.
Hopefully we'll get to the bottom of it sooner than later.
Yeah, that would be preferable. We don't really need any more serial killers than we already have in the States.
No, and particularly right now, Austin's can be a very dangerous place anyway. They have a severe homeless population. And again, such a wide mix of people from all over the country and around the world. But I don't see it being like in New York where they say, well, he likely just was drunk and going on an overpass and fell in the fucking river and drowned, man. Case closed, you know?
Yeah.
Well, once you start getting up to 50, 60 victims, all the same thing, you have to start putting the connecting the dots.
Well, preferably you would do that a little bit earlier than maybe 50. Like, you have 50 bodies and it's like, you know what, gang? I think someone's coming around here, you know, and killing these folks.
You know? I'm not one to let somebody get something over on me, but I'm starting to connect some dots here.
Yeah, 50 is a little much. Maybe somewhere around 8 is start to really suspect. 8's
probably a good body count to start going, we might have a problem here, boys. Yeah. We better look around and see what the fuck we can find is going on.
Because if you get any higher than like 15, that's when your city's starting to get a problem.
I don't know. Maybe they need some help down there. I know they're shorthanded.
Oh, do you
everybody's wanna, all shorthanded.
You want to volunteer for the police force?
Yeah, no, thank you.
Oh, okay.
No, man. That's not my bag, baby. Not my groove, no.
Really? You don't want to go down and investigate a serial killer?
No, but, you know, I did think, though, man, if we could get a weekend off together, go down there and do some live street interviews on Rainy Street around the food trucks, and just, hey, man, what's your, as an Austinite on the street,
Have you seen any
weird fucked up shit?
They could probably describe like half of their day at that point. Hey, have you seen anything kind of funky out here?
Well, that is the one thing I love about Austin. I used to spend a lot of time in Austin. Mm. You know, I was born and raised in this state, and that's where we go hang out on the holidays and the weekends. Man, they had a great, or they still have a great nightclub. Live music scene's always been awesome down there. And, you know, I won't end the show, but I would like to add Austin's motto has always been keep Austin weird. And that's how weird Austin is fucking keeping it right now.
Yeah, that's a little too weird for anybody's taste.
Now, this being our first show, we just wanted to kind of give you a sample of what we're doing here. And again, I'm not going to do current events on a regular basis, but when it's cool, or I know this isn't cool, but when it's unusual and it's local, I'll probably throw something out there, such as this next little story. Did you know 6 cows in Texas found dead with their tongues cut out?
Well, that's a little weird, yeah.
Like in the last few weeks?
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
All right, so just a little side note. 6 cows found dead and mutilated along State Highway in East Central Texas with their tongues completely removed.
Don't people eat cow tongues?
They do, but wait, it gets worse.
Oh, okay.
That's prompted an investigation, obviously, by the county sheriff's office. And now, ranchers in Madison County first reported a 6-year-old Longhorn cross cow lying on her side, dead and mutilated. Now, according to the release of the sheriff's office on Wednesday, the cow's tongue was removed with no blood spill and a straight, clean cut with an apparent precision had been made to remove the hide around the cow's mouth on one side. Now, while looking into the Longhorn Cross's death, investigators learned of 5 other cows that were also found in similar brutal condition. Each cow was from a different pasture and herd. And was found at a different location along the area of Texas State Highway near Brazos and Robertson counties. Now, on 2 of the cows, A circular cut had also been made, removing the anus and external genitalia.
Whoa. Hold on. This sounds freakishly similar to something I recently listened to.
Hello.
Well, because what I listened to was an audiobook. I've been listening to a series. It's called The Infinite Series. It's a fantastic series so far, but basically, the book was about The Others. It's the second book in the series, where it's kind of this whole alien vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 2016, maybe, you know, a couple years ago.
Okay.
And it's about this cold detective and his not so cheery, but much brighter, older assistant who are searching for this missing child and her mother who seemingly just disappears. And in the whole series, the whole book, it's basically just alien stuff, like, you know, flying saucers, gray men, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Book has fantastic writing and twists, so don't worry about me spoiling anything too important. But they find a cow with its well, no better way to put it, its anus just completely circularly removed.
Yeah, it seems to be something that happens a lot.
No blood spill. It's just there. It is. So that's kind of weird.
That's the exact same thing here. There were no signs of struggle, no blood spill, no footprints, no tire tracks around the area. Just cut their butthole out and no sign of blood.
Did it happen along the 37th parallel by any chance?
You know, I think that's something we could probably Google because it sounds like something that would happen on the 37th parallel.
Oh, shit. Let's search it up. Hold on.
Start pulling that up. But anyway, the sheriff's office, they're just like, we don't know, man. All we can tell you is there's been multiple similar incidents in the U.S. So it's not just here in Texas, bro. It happens all over. I've been listening to stories like this on Art Bell's Coast to Coast for many moons. Linda Moulton Howe, High Strangeness. She's been reporting on cow deaths and this kind of weird shit since the 80s. So, yeah, you might want to look into that, too. If you never heard of Linda Moulton Howe, High Strangeness, you might want to look into that, as too.
Okay, I'll be honest. Well, I'm not.
Well, it was a good attempt to bring up the parallel there on the.
I have no idea how to search for the 37. Hold on. I'm going to keep searching this. Don't worry.
You keep searching for that. But I think that's going to wrap us up for now. And we'll cover the missing tongue, butthole, and genitalia cow stories on further episodes, I'm sure.
Will we?
Yeah, probably.
Will we?
Man, anytime I can get some anus in there, I'm gonna throw it in, bro. But
what?
I'm sorry.
I don't think you are.
So I don't want to do a spoiler about our next episode. But I'll just say that gallows humor is not required, but it is suggested. And this will probably be the worst story you've ever fucking heard of. And if you have heard of it, hopefully we will tell this in a slightly different manner, because I have some opinions about what might be happening with this story as well that I don't know if they were missed. I know lots of podcasts have covered this story, but I wanted to get it out first. And so if you've made it this far through our first episode, thank you so much for hanging around. We're going to try and get this out on some other platforms eventually, but we're going to start here with Spotify.
Keep things small.
And if you have any listener tales, that is one of my favorite. I tune into Morbid 2-3 times a week, and their listener tales are just the best.
Mm.
I got to give kudos to those girls. I never intended on ever doing a true crime podcast in my life. True crime was not my bag, baby, until I started listening to those two girls.
Thankfully, this is not a true crime podcast.
It's not just a true crime, but it's going to have a lot of true crime that is fucking horrible. But just a little shout out to those girls. Thank you so much for getting me into this. And I guess we don't have any kind of moniker because, well, we just started this about 30 minutes ago. But we'll get some kind of cool show sign off.
I mean, you've already dropped the, well, that's not my bag, baby. So, yeah, we could end off the episodes like that if you so want.
No, I don't. No, I don't. We'll come up with something better than that.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, thanks for listening. I'm Thomas.
I'm Uriah.
And this is Black Light After Dark.